I'm Neil Stavem. Here's a highlight from Connecting Faith. You can find more on this topic at the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com. And your support makes it possible. Thank you.
For any of these, you know, we kind of set a challenge in the book to figure out what's the love language of those people closest to you. And we give some very concrete strategies in the book. But one of them is, frankly, just experimentation. You might have somebody in your life who kind of stumps you, you know, can't figure out what that person's love language is, and you can experiment and have some fun with it. For a few days, you can try expressing love with words and then move on to the next love language. If that person doesn't respond to that, offer some time, offer love through time, and then keep going until you find something that really makes that person light up. I think it's great in relationships, too, because it puts the emphasis on the other person. You know, not just how do I feel, but how am I making the other person feel? And so just with a little bit of experimentation, you can see what makes that person feel loved and known.
So you mentioned time. Time is another one of the love languages. What would a person who experiences love through time or quality time, how would they experience love?
That would be the person in a family, you know, if you have a family member or friend who just really wants to be with you and nothing fancy, don't have to do anything spectacular, but just wants to spend time together. And it can be extra challenging in our day and age with people's hectic schedules and the constant distractions, especially with our phones. You know, you can be sitting next to someone and not actually give that person your time or pay any attention to that person. So for someone who craves time, the goal is to set aside all distractions and give the person that gift of time that will just make him or her feel so loved and known and appreciated.
So one of the things when we're talking about teenagers, especially when you're talking about time, that's a particular challenge is not having that phone or device of some sort in the way of spending quality time, because you could sit next to each other on the couch for 3 hours. But if you're both playing on your devices, answering emails, making phone calls, things like that, texting other people, then it's not going to feel very quality time, is it?
That's exactly right, Joe. And I would say that reminder applies equally to adults. I have seen some of the worst offenders I've seen with phones are people who are my parents' or grandparents' ages who are so enamored with the phone and the novelty of it that they can't set it down. I know a few years ago, felt such a conviction. I have two little boys. And I realized that I was letting my phone distract me from my time with them. So even if I was sitting down reading one of them a story, I would get, you know, a notification, something from Facebook, some great deal online that I just had to check out right that instant. And I would check my phone and ignore my voice for a minute, stop the book. And I just felt such a conviction that I was not giving them my time, and it was over something silly that really wasn't that important to me. So for a lot of us, we really have to develop that self-discipline of just putting the phone down and looking at the person and really seeing the person sitting across from us.
Thanks for listening. Your support makes this audio stream possible. You can help at myfaithradio.com.